Thousands of years in the future, Earth is ravaged by kaiju, and mankind takes to the stars to escape their fate. But on a return to their homeworld, they discover the monsters have truly taken over. Will this anime film series start off with an atomic fireball or a whimpering cough? Find out with us as we take the big G to places it's never been before. This is Kaiju vs. History, Godzilla, Planet of the Monsters.
Welcome back to Kaiju versus History. This is your space hoverbike riding pilot, Patrick, and joining me is an alien with a wacky religion. Oh, Miles. Hey, Miles.
Hey, Patrick.
Can barely tell some of these characters are aliens. they're
well, yeah, it's one of several weird aliens. Choices this picture makes. Now, if I'm not mistaken, this is the first like full-on anime Godzilla release, right? As far as I know, there's been like shorts and stuff throughout the years, but this is the first actual Godzilla anime release.
This is the first one, and this is what they decided to go with. Yes.
Yeah.
Godzilla Planet of the Monsters.
So what's so funny about this one, it's honestly shocking it took this long to get a Godzilla anime.
Kind of surprising, like not in TV show form at any point, not in animated film form. We're talking 2017 Planet of the Monsters. It took that long because Toho had been known for animation for many, many years as well.
Yeah.
We talk about them mostly as the kaiju company, but they've been doing anime and animated movies. Yeah,
aren't they responsible for like one of the biggest animes out there? Aren't they what's that hero show that you like? My Hero Academia.
Yeah, oh yes. They are part of the Boku no Academia, which came out I think the year before this, the anime. But yeah, they've been working on, well, officially under Toho Animation, I think, for only a few years before this, but they've worked on different projects, I think, for several years.
Yeah, because they did the newer Fooly Cooly stuff. So it looks like they're credited for Psycho Pass as being one of their first like full on. This is our show by ourselves.
Yes, they had some animated films in the 80s. It looks
right,
like. But most of their TV shows. Yeah, Psycho Pass 2012 and a few others. But yeah, I saw some things online that were saying the original concept for this trilogy of movies, spoiler warning, there are two other anime Godzilla films in this trilogy, and both of them come out in 2018. So we're going to see them in pretty short order here on the podcast. The original idea, I think, was supposed to be like a 10 episode TV series. Which
it kind of feels like that's where, so they've kind of walked back. When you go to Netflix and put this in, it's credited as episode one now.
And
you even get the and Netflix original series thing pop up. I don't think that was there in 2017 because I remember it was marketed as a trilogy of films.
Yes, but it is not represented as one show on Netflix. Like they each have their own entry.
Yeah,
like you can't like hit play and it'll autoplay the next movie. You know,
I think it suggested anyway, but at least it did when I was watching this. I it's weird because I on paper parts of these ideas feel like they are ripe for a one or two movie entry in the Millennium franchise. Like if something just the idea of people coming back to Earth to fight Godzilla, that seems like such a Millennium idea.
Yeah.
And like if that had continued, I could see that had been like, you know, OK, after the Kiryu saga, let's do this, you know. And have you seen these prior to doing this?
No, they were part of the I pretty much saved all of Reiwa when we decide we're going to do this. But I remember when they came out in 2017, 2018, just not getting a lot of buzz.
Yeah.
Which is a shame.
I remember being very excited for this. Mm-hmm. And I think I even remember being really positive when it first came out. Because, I mean...
Have you seen all three of them?
I have. I saw them all when they came out.
Okay.
And I'm like kind of scrolling back and I'm looking at some of my naive positivity.
What do you mean?
Now that I'm rereading what I had said, it's a little more tempered than I because I know I get very excited about certain things.
Reviews posted online for
no,
for
it wasn't films. Reviews. I'm just like looking in our Discord of times I was talking about it.
Oh, that's funny.
And because I wanted to see what I thought, because I do remember being positive about these movies when they came out. And mm-hmm. sometimes that is what we like to call Stockholm syndrome. But before we get to that, Patrick, tell us, what's that title?
Yeah, Godzilla, Planet of the Monsters.
It's not a bad title.
It's a good subtitle, to be honest. It most of the regional variations that you'll find, because this, for better or for worse, Miles, is probably the most widely distributed Godzilla movie of all time, outside of maybe 2014's Godzilla. I just think it's
How do you mean?
I think it's the most accessible because it was on Netflix. It came out on Netflix. So
launch wise, I would agree, but I do remember the big thing after its theatrical run was that Netflix got -0 and still has it.
Well, now, yes. I mean, but for like 5 years or so, this was like the main stuff that was Godzilla related on Netflix. Like, I don't even
think
Legendary was on there for
the
longest time.
You're gonna laugh, but I think someone has always had the 98 film too.
Oh, yeah. No, thank you. No, I'm good. No, thanks. I'm cool.
But yeah, hey, I'll watch my 4K. I do have that on 4K.
There are variations of the title in other countries where it's just called Godzilla Monster Planet or some kind of mix up of those words.
Yeah, which is planet, a very cool title.
Monsters like, Planet. The abbreviated Japanese title is often called Anigoji, and it's also the name for the Godzilla in this movie, although it the Godzilla, plural Godzillas, also have other names referred to by fans, but Anigoji is one of the names for the film as well. But yeah, has an interesting tagline, which is very similar to the one for Gamera 2. The tagline is, "Who will be eradicated, man or Godzilla?" And Attack on Legions is, "Who will be extinct, Japan or Legion?" Don't know if it's a callback or not, but I thought that was a good bit of trivia from Wikizilla.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very cool callback. The director of this, mostly known for doing work.
Two directors.
Yes. Kobun Shinzo, very prolific in the Detective Conan franchise.
Yes, he's worked on, well, he also had some background directorial roles in the Evangelion film series. Has worked in some other films, but yeah, Detective Conan movies, they put out a lot of those. The show and the films have been going strong since the 90s.
Yes. And because here it was called Case Closed and dubbed, and I never really got into Case Closed.
Oh my God. I loved it so much.
I need to go back and watch it because I mean, I think I was in a different mindset, you know, when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. I do want to go check it out now. I also think that the initial I need to rewatch it dubbed too, because I remember they played up the slapstickiness, and I feel like the original show mm-hmm. still had a lot of like kind of serious moments. There's also a crossover with Lupin the Third that I must watch.
Right.
What got me so excited about this particular movie when it was coming out was the fact that the script was by Gen Urobuchi, who is a well-known writer to me because he has one written something that Patrick and I have both watched on the More You Nerd back in the day, Huella Magi, Madoka Magica, which is a dark, very dark take on the magical girl subgenre. But he also was the showrunner and I think the main writer for Kamen Rider Gaim, which is my favorite Kamen Rider season. And I know he has still continued to work on the Madoka stuff, but he's done a lot of really good writing stuff. I think he's responsible for Fate Zero, which is, I think is probably my most popular for in some circles. Mm-hmm. But I was so excited to see him take on Godzilla. And probably why I'm watching this now is what even fuels me being so disappointed in this particular entry.
Spoiler warning. Unfortunately, not a great Godzilla.
No, it's not. But there's cool concepts here.
Oh, yeah, it's very cool concepts. Koben Shizuno, the first director, also worked on a TV series for the production company Polygon Pictures, which is pretty popular series, I think, that they put out. His other director, co-director, is Hiroyuki Shishita, who they did all three of these movies together. They've worked on the Knights of Sidonia together, but he went on to do the Gamera Rebirth TV show for Netflix as well, which you've not finished, is that correct at this point?
Which one?
Gamera Rebirth.
I don't think I watched the last episode, but now I'm just going to wait till we do it for the podcast.
Yeah. It's a good one. But yes, that series I consider much more successful than this series of films. But part of the reason
you say that in terms of execution, I would fully agree. Did it do well?
It did. I mean, it did fine as far as gamers concerned, probably did fine. But I don't know if it's getting a second season immediately. But Hiroyuki is the Godzilla fan of the two of the directors, and supposedly, specifically, Shizuno had only seen Legendary Godzilla and I think Shin Godzilla, like the two most recent Godzilla films. Didn't have like a real working base for the classic, but like his co-director,
which makes so much sense.
His co-director Hiroyuki told him specifically not to watch the other films so he would have someone that was like fresh eyes on the project, which is good because they specifically went in, you know, in reading some of the quotes about this movie, they went in making something that you don't have to have watched other Godzilla movies to jump into, because spoiler warning for the story, it takes place like 10,000 years, 20,000 years in the future, 20,000
years in the future eventually. Yeah, which
they say they're going to be 2,000 years in the future, and it's like, okay, well, that's already like
I love the JK future. Moment, like, oh, actually it's been 10,000 years. They're like, what?
I mean both are so like incredibly long, it's like, who cares? They're both crazy amounts of time to be away from the planet, because they like jump drive in a spaceship away from Earth after it gets destroyed by monsters. It is a planet of the monsters, and then they come back to try and take it over. I guess they're thinking like, oh, maybe Godzilla will be dead, I don't know, but they're basically starving in space, so that's the
point. There are some really interesting story elements at play here. And, you know, I mean, because it takes a while before we ever see Godzilla, which is what it is. That happens sometimes.
It's about 25 minutes, I think, before they get back to Earth in the movie. It's probably a bit too long for a movie called Godzilla, Planet of the Monsters. It takes them a while to get back to Earth. But the intro, spoiler warning, is like my favorite part of the movie, where they show not just Godzilla, but they have several deep cut monsters represented. So
that's one of the cool thing about this is we did see a lot of like deep cut monsters that you haven't seen in a while.
Yes, we've got the main one that blew my mind was Degora, the giant space amoeba thing. But Orga is represented in these monsters. Kamakuras, the big old praying mantis things from
the ones Godzilla. That picked on little Minya.
tons of kind of representation of the Godzilla series, and obviously Godzilla is like the main one that's destroying Earth. And this first Godzilla, which I said is called Anigoji, is very close to like a legendary Godzilla. Like, they're not super far off design wise. It's definitely a bit chonkier. We only see him for like, you know, maybe 5 minutes in the intro of the movie, but it's pretty cool. It's also a very short version of Godzilla. It's one of the shortest at like 50 meters, which, boy howdy, does it grow up in the intervening millennia when the humans of the story come back, because there's technically two Godzillas in this movie. We only get to see the big boy at the very end. But do you want to talk about these Godzillas, these designs?
Let's talk about them, because it's not just the design. The designs themselves, they feel like, if you like Legendary, there was some confusion during the market at the time, because I know I said this last week, I think. I could have sworn at some point in the marketing they had mentioned that this was like kind of a spiritual successor to Shin Godzilla, which you can kind of look at if like, because we never see Shin Godzilla, you know, finish evolving. And there's a couple moments where Godzilla, when you see him head on, like when you see the true Godzilla, gives off that vibe, especially when you find out that he's been like evolving consistently. I don't love a big old slow Godzilla, and both of these are big old slow Godzillas.
With some differing powers, like Godzilla has a very similar to an Evangelion energy shield around it, which is why they can't
They made Godzilla an angel, and I didn't love that either.
It has, some differing powers from normal Godzilla, but still has a very destructive blast, although its atomic breath is more kind of like a laser, very similar to Shin Godzilla.
And there's a name for the other Godzilla. Is that Godzilla Phileus?
So the main one that this story revolves around is them trying to kill Godzilla Phileus. So they're like, oh, well, this doesn't look like the Godzilla that we left. So this is probably like a descendant of Godzilla, however it reproduced. Phileus meaning like son of. So this is, that's the Latin for son. So Godzilla's son, which is pretty funny. It's like son of Godzilla. But
I mean, I don't mind. You know, we've had a Godzilla Jr. or Manila or Minya or whatever, Godzuki, before. And that's fine, because this is all about fighting that particular one. And then there's the big, you know, kind of bait and switch of, oh, that's not the real Godzilla.
Yes, one literally like three times as tall, which is labeled Godzilla Earth amongst the fandom. And while it's never called Godzilla Earth in the series, that is, it's like, I think, official Toho name. And it's a pretty metal design. It's like, you know, it's an extremely slow moving version of Godzilla, because it is kind of like its own ecosystem in and of itself.
Because we find out the mountain that they've been fighting on is not a mountain at all. Obviously, it is the fully evolved original Godzilla who has been growing for 20,000 years. And again, on paper, I like that idea. And him so being cool. A little slower makes sense, because he's a literal mountain. And I think at this point, isn't he the tallest?
I mean, Godzilla? At 300 meters, he's not only the tallest Godzilla, but he's honestly like one of the largest kaiju period represented in kaiju film. Like, maybe, I forget actually how tall the Ghidorah were supposed to be, but they were like the size of cities.
And he has his own a couple special abilities that we see one of, at least in this one, where he has called the oscillatory wave, but he's got this sonic roar.
Yeah. And once again, on paper, really cool to have like a completely leveled up, fully grown Godzilla. We don't get to see it that much in this movie, but this is the Godzilla that they face in the next two films, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and because this is certainly a more human-focused story, and we'll kind of cut back to them in a little bit, but we mostly have the Godzillas to talk about, because that's the crux of the battle. There is some new flying guys, because I know we see the skeletal remains of a Rodan, but... Yes,
Servum, they are Godzilla spawn, a subspecies that have kind of like evolved from supposedly Godzilla is like plant in this universe, is like made of plants and the, well, the because, ecosystem. Because
Godzilla has basically, you know, we see that he's been like kind of in the earth. He's been there for so long that his biology has, you know, influenced the earth itself.
It's a very interesting idea. It's not a good movie. I couldn't name to you like really any of the characters of the film, and design wise, I mean, they're all wearing basically the same kind of space jumpsuit, yeah. Which
so our main, boy. Our kind of main character at the time is Captain Sakaki, who
yes.
we meet at the very beginning of the movie, who is kind of doing a terrorist threat against his ship. So, and this kind of introduces the idea that, okay, humanity fled the Earth and it's not going well. This is not a situation where they had some sort of generation ship that was well thought out. This was a very quickly cobbled together plan. So they are running out of supplies and food and people are starving. And so they think, okay, well, we see this one planet. Let's have all of our elderly go check it out. And to colonize, to see if it can work on this planet. Now, of course, that
they just like
go well.
They just like break up in the atmosphere, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I think it's implied that there was probably some sabotage to it. But yes, all these elderly are sick and tired of the 20 years they've spent on this ship. They want to at least die on solid ground, as one of them puts it. And you know, again, something that could be fleshed out more interestingly in a series, in a, what is it, hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes? No, this is 88 minutes. This is a very short film.
Pretty short, yeah.
They kind of clip through this pretty quickly. And I can't even remember what they initially call the aliens. I forgot their name.
So the main alien race are the X-If.
Yes, that's right. I remember it's if you're a Godzilla fan, you're already like, but
they're kind of throwbacks to both the Zillions and a whole bunch of aliens that have existed in the Godzilla universe. But they look, I mean, they're kind of elven like. They have like,
well, at least the main one that we talk to is very elven, mm-hmm. for sure.
Different hairstyles, but that's about it. And they're like platinum blonde, but yes, you'd be surprised. It's like, oh, these are aliens. When you have, yeah. When animation is the world you get to play in, you could do so many different things. You don't have to make them look human.
But it is a standard Godzilla thing, yeah, to have, yeah, an alien race in the guise of something that resembles humans. So that's not that crazy to me.
True that. But oftentimes they're like actually cockroaches, you know, and
right,
they
yeah.
have like a,
well, there's more to these guys than we know.
Yeah, they have like the illusion technology or cloaking or whatever that makes them look human.
I think so. We have a lot of interesting stuff going on. And again, on paper, this sounds really sound. I do dislike any time that Godzilla doesn't feel like a character. It's something that I brought up in the Shin Godzilla review that we did. And I mean, we don't get to spend enough time with either Godzilla to really say that, because the first time it's like, no. Oh, no, he pops up. And then the second time it's like, oh, you killed my son. Well, daddy's home. And which is a great moment.
Yeah. The humans in this or the folks finally kill Godzilla and they're so excited. And it's like, you really just signed your death
warrant. Right. And I mean, it's honestly a really cool moment. Not so cool when you didn't have a release date for part two, which would only come out 6 months later. So that's great.
Yeah.
These announced that like soon after the release.
All pretty close together. But yeah, it is kind of a bit of a cliffhanger there. There's a post-credit sequence that shows our main character still alive. And there are other aliens on the planet still, or
no, that is to imply that there are indigenous people on the planet.
Yeah, folks that have
that survived the last 20,000 years. What I think you alluded to before is like, yes, there is a actually somewhat sizable cast. You don't really spend enough time with anyone to really learn their names outside of Haruo Sakaki. I don't even remember the aliens. The main alien's name is that Metfies?
Yes,
but like there's a whole group of people like, oh, and they grew up together. It's like, well, we needed to know this information. Like, There's a whole like hierarchy and lived in society that we get glimpses of in mm-hmm. how they react to each other. So at least we have that context. But like, because of this, like, you know, once they hit the planet and, you know, it hits the fan pretty quickly, you don't really care that a lot of these people are dying. And it's frankly kind of boring. And
yeah,
there's a lot of politics. They're politicking a lot while they're doing some of this stuff. So it's not until you're actively like in the thick of like the final act of the Godzilla fight where like things are starting mm-hmm. to pick up. And that's when the movie like kind of starts to me.
It's about an hour in. Yes. Into the movie. I was interested in like the idea of them coming back and basically Earth is completely different, because 2000 years, maybe some cities still survive, but like 20,000, everything's gone. This is like a completely alien
world. I love how they explain why it looks like there's buildings and stuff there. I thought that was really cool.
Well, oh, why is that?
I can't remember if they explain if it's a certain type of mushroom or whatever, but basically the stuff that grew around the buildings and fossilized.
Oh, yes. Kept it.
And so it looks like there's like remnants of a city. And you're like, oh, no. It's not. It's the shell of what used to be there. And that's really neat.
Yeah, they have some very interesting ideas in this film. Does it work as a kaiju film? I don't think so. I'm struggling. Are you ready to... It's certainly a kaiju film.
I can't say it's not. It's got a planet of monsters. It does.
Are you ready to rate this one?
I feel like a bummer because like I know I've just kind of been like not super enthusiastic, and I know we didn't go super into depth about some of the designs and stuff, but there's honestly just not a lot to talk about. This 88-minute film wastes a lot of its time, and it spins its wheels a lot. And
well. You don't have to wait too long for us to get to probably the coolest Godzilla title of all time. Godzilla City on the Edge of Battle. Such an English title.
I love that title.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, followed by the Planet Eater. I will pretty say good. Like, even though specifically this one is more ho-hum, there are some cool stuff that does happen in these, but
I'm excited to get to that one to talk more about Godzilla Earth, because like I said, we just get a very small snippet of that monster, who's actually the main monster of the main Godzilla of the series.
Yes.
But yeah. What do you rate this one on your personal enjoyment scale? This is I'm guessing only the second time you've seen this film?
Yes, this is the second time I've seen this film, and I was much less enthusiastic this time, obviously. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. This one takes a hit for my personal enjoyment. This movie is kind of a slog to get through. The Godzilla mm-hmm. stuff, while fun in certain parts, there are like cool sequences. Even that doesn't really save this one. I feel like it has a cool concept that it does not execute very well. It's very clumsy and lumbering and oftentimes just flat out boring. For my personal enjoyment, I'm giving it a 6.
Okay. Yeah. So that's on our scale. That's like good.
I mean, it's certainly not an awful movie, but like it ain't great.
Yeah. I'm pretty much there with you. This is my first watching of this, so I feel like I'm a little more kinder. I mean, I'm still preferring this over. I'm looking at my lowest score for a Godzilla film, and somehow it's not 1998 Godzilla. It is All Monsters Attack. I think I still like this one more than All Monsters Attack, but
which I enjoyed more than you did.
Yeah, I mean, it's still good, but this one I do feel like I needed more from it. There is a lot to enjoy if you're not thinking about this as a Godzilla movie. If you're thinking about this as a sci-fi man versus nature kind of thing. Yeah.
Even there though, yeah. I still think it does slog. Like, it's not just, I was thinking about that too, because I'm like, there are aspects of it where I'm like, yeah, if you put another monster, how would I feel? Because Godzilla is kind of a non-factor for some of this, mm-hmm. and doesn't even feel, he feels like monster, which is not always what I want. Like,
there's again, not a lot of character to yeah. Godzilla Phileas. I agree with you. I think it is a very beautiful, interesting world, but I just didn't connect with the characters, and
yeah,
Well, it didn't put me to sleep, which many a kaiju film on our list have. I only enjoyed it, I think, a 6 out of 10 as well. Well, for its technical, I think I do like the animation. Mm-hmm. It is the same company. I mean, they've done so many things. I meant to mention Polygon Pictures most recently did the Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man TV show, which is a very different animation style. They've done a 11 Love, Death, and Robots series. What? Oh, and we will also see them back after this Godzilla because they did the Netflix Pacific Rim TV series.
Pacific Rim, the Black.
Which is another one that I've saved and not watched specifically.
I've watched the first part or first season or whatever they called it, and mm-hmm. I remember really liking it, so we'll see.
And the company actually didn't start with animation. They worked on some live action Ultraman films in the early 2000s, which I thought was interesting. Anyway, I think the animation is good. I think the technical score is going to be my highest. I like anime Godzilla. I like the monster designs itself. And character design wise, I'm so confused why, if they're in a world where everyone is either a captain, a major, a corporal, like not differentiating them more because they're all wearing the same kind of spacesuit. And it makes me not really have, you know, any understanding of like their hierarchy or like how important they are even to one another. Yeah, just need something like a Star Trek uniform where it's like, put some pips on their put some medals on their spacesuits, do something, you know. I guess they do have some like bars, but it's I don't know, it's very hard to tell them apart. But yeah, the script for, like I said, for a sci-fi movie is okay. I'm giving this a 7 out of 10 for my technical score, but yeah, technically a lot of that is because I do think animation wise it's actually pretty good. What about you, Miles?
So I am right there with you. I'll give it a 7 out of 10 as well for almost the exact same reasons. The animation is very solid. The human designs is extremely bland and forgettable, and it makes it difficult to track certain characters. The script is just, I mean, maybe if they had another pass at it, and it bums me out because I love the writer, but yeah, this script is not strong. It really weakens the movie. The Godzilla design is great. The voice acting is great. Even though I don't like how slow Godzilla seems to move, it works with what they're doing here. And so even if I don't personally love it conceptually from my personal point of view, it doesn't mean it doesn't technically work. And it does. I think everything about this, aside from its script and some of its human design, is pretty solid. So I'm happy awarding this a 7 out of 10 for its technical.
What about its importance as a kaiju film?
So this one's weird because obviously as a Godzilla film, you already feel like it gets a head start because it's always going to be part of a kaiju conversation because it is a Godzilla film. That said, they don't really do a whole lot with the monster stuff here. Like we do have this idea that a kaiju did cause humans to flee and we're coming back to stop it. Okay, that's cool. It's different. But it doesn't really offer anything because, one, it's only part of a story in a way that feels, like you said, it feels like the first part of a TV show. This does not feel like it feels like a pilot. It does not feel like a complete effort or a complete thought, which is a problem I have with trilogies in the modern era anyway, is that often things don't feel like, oh, this is, you know, three standalone stories that are telling a complete movement, like the original Star Wars trilogy or even Lord of the Rings. Where you can watch Lord of the Rings, even though that one is a lot more congruous with like what it's doing, like it's just each one has an individual story to tell. And that does not seem to be the case here. It also, you know, doesn't tell a great story because we only get to see part of it. They have these very big concepts that it does very slapdash. And it just doesn't deliver the goods for me. I'm actually going lower than my personal enjoyment. I think we're at a 5 here, to be perfectly honest. Like, I think that, like, of all the Godzilla stuff and concepts we've seen executed, I think this is one of the poorest.
Yeah, and I'm right there with you. 5 out of 10. It's like we read one another's notes on this, but I'm worried this is getting off.
I didn't like.
But we scored it the exact same. It's so rare. I'm worried the rest of the series will, you know, not be as good because this is kind of a bad start. You expect it to be like good up front and then kind of get worse as it goes on. But yeah, I just expected a little bit more from this, even though, like I said, the hubbub was it's an okay film.
It makes me excited to see the rest of it because I do remember this having some really cool ideas at certain points, especially when we get to the Planet Eater. There's a concept that I do kind of like a lot, or at least I did back when it came out 5 years ago. Or 6 years ago, whatever. We'll see how this goes.
I do want to also try to look at it like it is a television series at some point and investigate these as episodes, because like even dividing up like that, I don't think the first episode where they like are in space the entire time would have been that good, you know.
No, I mean if you at least cut up with like some Godzilla on Earth in the 21st century, it probably could have survived that. But yeah, I agree with you. Viewing it like a TV show probably works pretty good because this does feel like a pilot where you get the big, you know, bum, bum, bum. This is where we're going from here. And that works.
Yeah, I just this doesn't feel like it holds up in the rest of the Godzilla canon. Like even Godzilla 98 feels like more of a Godzilla property. So
come to the dark side, baby.
It means that you're at a 6 out of 10. I am as well at a 6 out of 10. Makes the score very simple as a 6 out of 10 for its final podcast score.
Is that our lowest score in Godzilla?
You know it isn't. I think actually All Monsters Attack also got a 6 because rated it a little bit lower. I think you rated it a 7. I rated it at a 6. And then somehow 1998's Godzilla got a 7.
Oh, that's because I put that 10 in there.
Yeah, this is tied now, I think, for the worst Godzilla film. And it's not bad. It's just not, doesn't add honestly, that much.
That speaks volumes of the franchise when even something like this, which is passable, this is what we would consider the worst of a, 33 film series.
And it's still, you know, on our scale, 6 out of 10 is good. It's not, not bad in any
way. I mean, that's the reason for the season. Godzilla, the best to ever do it.
So that's going to do it for this episode. You can find us online, on social media. Basically type in Kaiju versus History, and you'll find a few places. But if you want to email us, KaijuVersusHistory@gmail.com is the place to do it. We are on Blue Sky, and we just had our super fan, Jared, reach out to us and let us know that Godzilla Battle Line has announced recently that they're adding the monster Bagan to the lineup.
I saw that.
Hilarious. So
I played Battleline at launch and for about a year or two. And then when I briefly switched jobs that required me to be, because it's a real time game where like you have to actively, it's not a casual like, oh, I can put this on auto. Nope. I kind of want to go back to it. They changed so much. Like, they had just added Kong when I left. And I know they've had Ultraman and Gamera have been in there.
I've played it for a while. It's bonkers. It's just so crazy.
It is very, very crazy. And I think they added one of the Godzillas from this series as well, because they're always looking for reasons to add more Godzillas. I think the Shin Godzilla is the funniest one because he has to survive as a little wormy before before he evolves. And when he evolves, he becomes super powerful. But that worm does not, you need any protection.
Jared asks us there, if that proves popular in the game, what are the chances that Bagan will get a film and it not be canceled for once? And
you know, I would love to see it.
Extremely unlikely, never zero. You can always, there's always a 1% chance of Bagan showing up.
I would love to see it. I feel like, you know, this is certainly a creature that has proved popular amongst fans. Like they still want, you know, they want to see this guy. Yeah. And you know, it's almost happened several times and just hasn't. That I would absolutely love to do that. I would love to see that.
So we will answer your questions on the social medias. Blue Sky Now only, I believe. But you can also find us on the Cosmic Crit Discord. We've had some fans join up through there. And feel free to find the Kaiju versus History page channel there and chat us up. Miles, what are we doing next week? What is on the horizon? Something better, obviously, than Godzilla Planet of Monsters.
Oh, you sweet summer child. Thank you, Patrick. And thank you, listeners. We will catch you next time when once more we dive into the film catalog of Mockbusters that is the Asylum Creature Featureverse. Will the sequel to the first Mockbuster do better than the original movie that it's aping? Find out along with us next week for History versus Atlantic Rim Resurrection.